frontrunner Hillary Clinton leading Bernie Sanders by a 50 to 46% margin in Indiana. This is USA Radio News.
Hey, it's Rusty Humphries, host of Trending Today USA, where we feature the biggest and the best and the brightest trending stories in the world. One of the places I go first every single day is WesternJournalism.com. Chris Agee's here. He's the managing editor of WesternJournalism.com. What makes WesternJournalism.com so special?
Well, Rusty, I think it is very special. We bring you the news as it actually happens. We're one of the places that you can come for the facts, and they're backed up by what's actually happening out there.
You know, a lot of websites, they deal in rumor and innuendo. You guys are really dealing in journalism, is that right?
Oh, absolutely. And there's no question that we're going to bring you pro-American news. I mean, we're going to bring you stuff that makes you proud of the freedoms that we have. And we back up the Constitution every step of the way, but that doesn't influence our reporting. Our reporting is the truth, is 100% accurate.
Make sure you check it out. One of the best websites in the world, WesternJournalism.com. That's WesternJournalism.com.
New Jersey is considering later start times for middle and high school students. The American Academy of Pediatrics says teens need 9 hours of sleep per night to function well in school, but most aren't getting it. It recommends that high school classes begin at 8:30 in the morning or later. In New York, some say that you're being watched by billboards, USA's Anthony Lucero reports.
According to New York Senator Chuck Schumer, some of those new electronic billboards can track a person's every move using data from your cell phone.
New Yorkers and tourists in and around Times Square could now be giving up a treasure trove of personal information without even knowing.
Schumer wants the Federal Trade Commission to investigate whether they violate digital privacy rights and force billboard companies to offer consumers a way to opt out if they don't want to be monitored or tracked. I'm Anthony Lucero.
This is USA Radio News.
I'm Sean Hare, the site director at conservativetribune.com. Conservative Tribune is one of the most visited news sites in the world, and the reason is simple. ConservativeTribune.com delivers edgy and bold commentary of the news every day. We are unapologetically pro-America, unabashedly conservative. At ConservativeTribune.com, we don't make apologies for who we are or what we say. If you're looking for more than boring stories and simple thought, visit ConservativeTribune.com. That's ConservativeTribune.com.
A woman is suing Starbucks because she says their iced coffee drinks have too much ice. The Courthouse News Service reports the woman is suing the coffee giant for $5 million. The suit claims Starbucks is deceiving its customers by advertising the size of the cups instead of the amount of fluid a customer actually receives. Starbucks will gladly remake any drink that a customer isn't satisfied with. A U.S. cruise ship docks in Cuba today for the first time in about half a century. Passenger Roberto tells Fox News he doesn't agree with having closer relations with Cuba.
I'm not here to change the island or change the Cuban government. I'm an American citizen, and I'm proud to be an American, and I just want to learn a little more about my heritage.
Carnival Zedonia left the port of Miami yesterday for a week-long visit to the communist-ruled island nation, but it almost didn't happen. Carnival announced last year that it would be sailing to Cuba this spring, but just last month, the company put everything on hold over a controversial Cuban government regulation. The law prohibited Cuban-born visitors traveling to or leaving the island by sea. Cuba agreed to end that ban late last month. Prince's estate will be the subject of a court hearing today. The 57-year-old superstar died unexpectedly late last month, leaving behind an estimated $300 million and no will. Prince was married and divorced twice and had no living parents or children who could inherit his estate. This is USA Radio News.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908 384-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Good morning, Hunterdon. This is Big C coming to you from HunterdonChamberRadio.com at the studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good morning, Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HunterdonChamberRadio.com.
Good afternoon. The weather today is a slight chance of showers, mostly cloudy with a high near 63. South winds around 6 miles an hour. Tonight, showers, mainly after midnight. There will be a low around 53. Be calm winds becoming northeast around 6 miles an hour after midnight. And the chance of precipitation is 80%. Tuesday, showers, high near 62. Chance of precipitation, 80%. Tuesday night, chance of showers, mostly cloudy with a low around 49. Be a light variable wind. And Wednesday, guess what? A chance of showers. But you may have it partly sunny in the afternoon with a high near 65. And the chance of precipitation on Wednesday is 40%. Wednesday night, chance of showers. I'm not going to do Thursday, Friday, and Saturday because all it says is a chance of showers, a chance of showers, and a chance of showers. So we're going to have a big chance of showers. We do need the water, so I can't complain too much. Except my grass is growing so high, I have trouble cutting it, which I can't stand doing anyway. But anyway, you're listening to the Hunterdon County Medical Center Show. My name is Larry Cartwright, and I'm the host. And we're very privileged today to have with us Ann DeMarco, who I'm going to cut it short and say clinical coordinator and a speech therapist. How's
correct.
That?
Yes. That's
and
fine.
You told me that SLP stood for?
Speech-language pathologist.
Oh, okay. Speech-language pathologist. Mm-hmm. That sounds interesting. You want to elaborate a little bit on that?
Well, as a speech therapist or a speech-language pathologist, we're trained in evaluating and treating people who have speech difficulties, which is articulation, okay. How you make your sounds, and language, which is how you formulate words, sentences, thoughts. It covers a gamut of things. So that's kind of it in a nutshell.
You might find a lot of things with me with my speech and thoughts.
You never know.
No, but it's just one of those things, you know. I ask this of everybody, mm-hmm. Whether it's on the show previous or this show. How did you get in this kind of work? And the reason I ask is because, you know, sometimes people just say, well, I was married and I had 2 kids and a mortgage and I needed a job and this came up, you know, and I've been doing it for the last 20 years. Others will say something happened in their childhood that, you know, or young adult life mm-hmm. that, you know, directed them to that form of work or whatever. And some just say it was an accident that they fell into it. So I'm just curious, you know, because I know – when I got out of the service, I was married.
Right.
I still am, but I mean, I was, you know. But I didn't know what I wanted to do.
Right.
You know, because I graduated high school when I was 17. I went to service.
Right. You know?
Mm-hmm. And, you know, so tour and NAM and stuff. And, you know, I didn't know what I wanted to do when I came out. And so I was, you know, in the service for 6 years. And
right.
When I got out, we were married and moved in with my mother-in-law for, you know, a period of time till we found an apartment in Somerville and mm-hmm. yada, yada. And you know, it did a lot of stuff. I worked in a drugstore, I sold real estate, but till I found a position with a food company that I worked for.
Right.
And so I was just, and it was like mortgage, get a car, that sort of thing. So I needed a job, and this came up, and that sounded good, and I was making more there than I would have been making when I was making, So I was just curious. So how did you get in this type of work, Ann?
I think going back, I wanted to be a teacher, but at that point in time, I was shy, and this was probably in high school, and I was very interested in working with the deaf and sign language, but I knew I wouldn't be comfortable in front of a big group of kids and doing that. So I knew that about speech therapy a little bit through my knowledge of working with children with the deaf and some of the other things I had been aware of, as a high schooler. And I went and I decided I wanted to be a speech therapist. And actually, I went to my high school guidance counselor and said, this is what I want to do. I want to go to college. And I, way back when. And he goes, oh, why do you want to do that? You're not going to have a job. And I'm like, oh, I really, really, it's very interesting to me, and I really want to go. So I went to college at Bloomsburg University in Pennsylvania and graduated with a master's degree, and I have been working ever since.
Well, that's awesome.
And I love it. And I, from now the first class on, I really enjoyed it.
Now, you started in high school with sign language, or?
Yeah, you take little courses, and I was interested in working with, I like children and working with handicapped children, and I was interested in sign language and working with the deaf, but that kind of brought me around to speech therapy, which is helping people talk.
Right.
And I learned a little bit of sign language. I've worked with hearing impaired children, but I never, went the whole, which was probably a good thing because, there's so many new things with hearing impaired people and deaf people that, that's a whole different gamut. But I really enjoyed working with communication and how important that is with people. And if you don't have it, what happens when you aren't able to communicate? So that was really something that interested me. And, a lot of the courses that I had, there was one particular professor, and he was really interesting about when somebody has a stroke and how it affects their brain and how it affects their communication. So that's how I started.
I always found it interesting, like if you see, I just use an example, as a politician giving a speech, and to the side of them there's this person doing the sign language.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And I always found it, it's so interesting. I would rather watch the person doing the sign language than listen to what the guy or woman was saying.
Right.
And I just found it interesting that, people communicate that way.
Mm-hmm. It's a language.
It's a language in itself, really. And I just found it very interesting because you see it all the time. Mm-hmm. I mean, with politicians giving speeches and they'll have somebody there doing sign language, And I just think it's, I can't imagine what it'd be like not to be able to hear.
Right.
Or speak for that matter,
It is. We take it for granted.
Yeah.
We really do. We really do.
We do. And I know I have, I would say it's a little bit of hearing problems, but some of it's attributed to the military,
Sure.
But it's just over the course of years,
As we get older.
Yeah,
yes.
As I get 30, it's a little,
It is part of the process that we all go through.
Yeah.
Some
it's
more
just,
than
you
others.
Know, yeah, it's true. And,
but there's some amazing things that they can do. With,
right.
I'm not the expert in the hearing aid field
hearing, still,
but it's amazing stuff.
It is. It just really is, And,
You could have a whole nother show just on audiology and hearing
and
aids.
And
you
see
can.
People, all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't have to be people my age.
No.
I'm not telling you what my age is, but, but you see people all the time.
Right.
And, some of them late 30s, early 40s, with a hearing aid and stuff, And which is great because, without it, I just can't imagine what it would be like. And I'm sure there are people that, are deaf and can't have the hearing aid and that, obviously. And
and we also talk, we just did a career fair at one of our local high schools, and the audiologist, her name is Ann Crawford, who works at Hunterton Medical mm-hmm. Center Speech and Hearing with me, we were talking to the kids and talking about the volume of their headphones and their generation, the risk of hearing loss in their generation because of the loud volume that they use and the headphones and all of that and the noise. It's a concern. It's a concern for the millennials and those type of, you know, kids.
Sure.
It's going to be a problem.
And you...
Because you know noise exposure when you were, you know, when you were in the service.
Sure.
That's really a problem.
You know, and it doesn't have to be combat.
Nope.
I mean...
Machinery.
Yeah. Airplanes, mm-hmm. you know, jets,
yep.
bombers, you know.
Tractors,
anything.
Yep.
Right. You know, and it's just, it just amazes me. You go down a highway
mm-hmm.
or locally in Flemington or whatever, and you pull to a stop sign or not so much a stop sign, but a traffic light.
Right.
And it's two lanes mm-hmm. and you're in one mm-hmm. car pulls up in the other. You can hear the music four blocks down,
right.
you know, how can they listen to that? I mean, not so much amused, not what they're playing.
Right.
I, you know, that's different altogether, but how loud it is.
Right.
And that just, Lord, give me a break. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, what, are you that deaf that you can't hear it? You know,
but the audiologist, tell me if you go to a concert and that's if you'll see the concert and the people who sing and their kids always have the headphones on and that type of thing. Because if you have ringing in your ears after a concert, that's telling you something's going on affecting your eardrum and that all of that. So that any loud volume, any loud noise can affect your hearing.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's just amazing.
Yes.
But, you know, like you said, with everybody playing, you know,
mm-hmm.
and the headphones and everything so loud,
yeah.
you know, when they get down a road, they may be sorry they did it, you know?
Exactly. And, yeah, we were trying to educate a lot of the high schoolers on that. And some of them really took it to heart. Yeah, no, you're right. That can, you know.
Sure. You know.
Some did not.
But yeah,
some did.
Get out of here, you know. But, you know. But that's with anything.
Right.
You're going to reach a certain amount and certain mm-hmm. amount you're not going to reach. So,
right. exactly.
you know,
yeah.
it's just normal, you know.
Mm-hmm.
What sort of services, if you want to call them that, are offered at your speech and hearing department?
Yeah, the Speech and Hearing Center, we used to be in the hospital. We used to be on the fifth floor, and when they built a new wing, we've moved off-site down the street a mile to 121 Route 31, which people – who've lived in Flemington a really long time know it is the old bowling alley. But we have an office there now at 121 Route 31 in Suite 500, and we have four full-time speech pathologists. Yep.
One second. Let me interrupt.
Sure.
I don't mean to, because I want to get an idea of where it is. You're going down 31. It's on the right-hand side?
It's the same side, right past Chamois Shine. So if you're coming from the hospital.
Right. Okay. Yes.
Right. Yeah. Just to the right there. It's the white building.
Right, right.
Yeah, there's a lot of offices in there. Hunterton Medical Center's Women's Imaging is there.
Right. Okay.
Some other doctors. I don't even know all who's in there, but I know that the Imaging Center is upstairs. But,
right. Okay.
So we're right there. So we have Patty, our secretary, who answers the phone number, which is 788-6424. And then we have four full-time speech pathologists, one part-time, and we have two audiologists. And so what we do is the speech pathologists, we evaluate and treat children through adults who have speech and language disorder. So we have to have a doctor's referral to see a
mm-hmm.
person. So,
okay. For
example, a parent brings their child in for the three-year-old checkup. The pediatrician, you know, listens to the child, and they may not be talking as much as they should be for their particular age level at that point in time, or they may have speech difficulty and may not be as clear as expected. So the physician will refer them to us, and we do an evaluation, which is usually just it's a standardized procedure, but it looks at, you know, pictures, listening to their sounds, recording their language, you know, interacting with them and see if they're following directions and things like that. And then if they need therapy regarding the certain, then we set up outpatient therapy. People come to our department for therapy on a weekly basis. And then we also treat adults with a a wide variety of disorders. They could have a stroke and have difficulty speaking. They could have cancer and it affects their voice box or their throat. Any type of head injury. Which is a whole other story we'll talk about, is difficulty swallowing. But
all right, if someone has, what did you mention? You mentioned
cancer
and a stroke. Uh-huh. All right, so say a stroke.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times when people have strokes, mm-hmm. at least some people that I've known that had it,
right.
like one side of their face mm-hmm. or body mm-hmm. would not react,
right.
you know, to the other, or they're paralyzed on one side, or their face is twisted, or whatever.
Correct.
When someone like that comes, regardless of whether it's a male or female, it doesn't
right.
matter.
Mm-hmm.
How do you treat them for like speech if they can't, if they're, because you know, like if they have a stroke, a lot of times their face is,
right.
you know, half of their face is fine and the other half is not
yeah.
so fine, you know.
And there are. Basically, as you would go to physical therapy to work on your arm and leg and do exercises, there are exercises for the mouth and work on the weakness that side. And then sometimes the tongue is affected, so you work on exercises with that. And a lot of it's, you know, compensatory strategies like working on articulating or reading out loud and making sure your tongue is moving the way it is, just to increase the awareness of what they're doing. And nowadays, they do so many things with strokes and helping them as soon as the stroke happens and recovery, and they go to rehab, and then they still need therapy, and they'll come to us for outpatient therapy after they've been to rehab or home health. And we work on exercises, and the exercises are very we put it exactly the way, you know, what they need for that. You know, it's not it's not a cookie cutter. It's very, you know, well, it is cookie cutter exactly to what they need. And depending what their needs are.
It's like,
very
right.
individualized. That's okay. the word I was looking for. It's very individualized to what they need. So, and a lot of, most people recover, not all, but some back to their baseline. Some people don't, but they learn to communicate in a way that works for them and is functional.
Okay.
You know, and things like reading and writing is affected, and their ability to, you know, recall information. And so we work on all those things. I see a lot of young people who've had a stroke or head trauma, and we work to help them. You know, people are working. People have been working, and we work to see if, you know, we can get them back to their working. If not, we work on things to help them at least be functional mm-hmm. in their day-to-day living. So it can be very impactful. And then other people can recover and, you know, go back to almost their
almost
normal
the way
life.
They were,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
Now, if someone has, let's say, use an example, if someone has a car accident
mm-hmm.
and they have traumatic brain injury.
Correct. Yep.
Okay. And they have problem speaking.
Right.
How do you direct, if the brain isn't operating properly? How do you get that person to – I'm lost for words.
Well,
how do you get the
person
to, you know, to do what they have to do to
– depend on the extent of the injury. It's almost like a step-by-step process. Okay, they can do this, but they can't do that. So a lot of people with traumatic brain injury have not necessarily – well, some people have difficulty articulating, but they also have like – they can't think of the name of something. You know, these are headphones, or this is a microphone, or this is my purse, or these are keys. They have difficulty naming them. So you give them strategies and looking at words and kind of using all modalities, because speech and language is reading, writing, listening, and talking and communicating. So, you know, you see a
and
word.
And retaining, though.
Yes.
Okay. And
yeah.
that's part of the problem if you have a brain injury, I would
mm-hmm.
think,
mm-hmm.
is retaining.
Yeah.
Because I know someone, in fact, she was on mm-hmm. my other show. She's a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
She's a music teacher.
Right.
And she had two minor accidents, car accidents.
Right.
And she got traumatic brain injury
mm-hmm.
by, she was strapped in,
mm-hmm.
but. Just the shaking
mm-hmm.
of the head back.
Right.
She can't remember from birth to 20 years.
Right.
She can only remember from 20 years on.
Oh, okay.
So the first 20 years of her life are lost.
Right.
And she's gone through all sorts of therapy mm-hmm. and everything, and she mm-hmm. can't remember.
Right.
So her mother or her family would say, oh, you remember when, you know, no, you know.
Yeah. And that is kind of different for people because usually yeah. they can't remember what the new information is.
Right.
They can remember the old information.
Yeah, but she teaches, and, yeah. you know, mm-hmm. she teaches music, and mm-hmm. She's very successful in her right. career, but she just can't remember what first 20 years of her life, yeah. which I can't imagine what that would be like.
Yeah.
There's some part of my first 20 years I don't want to remember,
exactly.
you know, like the 3 years from 17 to 20 when I was in the service and, you know, but
you want to forget that.
Yeah,
yeah sure.
I want to forget that, but, you know, yeah. not all of it, but just some of it.
The brain is very adaptive and the research is showing more and more that, you know, there is recovery. It isn't other parts of the brain take over and you work and you learn compensatory strategies. If mm-hmm. you can't do it this way, you learn how to do it that way.
Right.
And that's basically what we teach is other ways. You give them all sorts of different strategies and what works for them is what we do a lot of the time. And that could be whatever's their priority in their life.
Do you find that people who have a speech problem may have a hearing problem also? Is it interrelated a lot of times or not? I know you don't want to go into a hearing thing.
Yes,
no,
but the hearing thing. But it's just impactful. Yes, if somebody has a hearing loss, it definitely can affect how they communicate. There are some people who have speech problems as a result of hearing loss because they
okay.
were born with it, that type of thing.
Okay.
But, you know, they're not completely deaf, but they have hearing impairment, those type of things. But if you have a hearing loss and you're trying and you've had a stroke, it does impact, you know, because you have to really, you know, be able to hear things, to take things in and learn how to, you know, figure something out.
Right.
And so
right.
it is. But there's so many modalities. We talk about, you know, people learn by looking at something. People learn by listening. People can write things down. People, you know, however, what your learning style, what it was before, and then we just add to it and you know, you figure out the way that works for you. And I, you know, the brain never completely recovers for most part. There's always a spot. But the rest of the brain can take over
right.
depending on the severity of what's going on.
Yeah.
And you learn how to compensate, you know, just like
my wife of 51 years tells me I have selective hearing. Yeah. And I said, sure do. You know. What'd you say, hon?
Yes.
You know. Do
you.
What? I can't quite get
didn't
that.
Hear
you know.
You.
She's
hear
got
you.
A to-do list from here to St. Louis. That, you know, I just, what? I can't hear that one. You know. But, no, it just, I find it, you know, when we talk about the brain, mm-hmm. you know, I'm, like I told you before, I'm highly involved with NAMI, which mm-hmm. is the National Alliance on Mental Illness.
Right.
And, you know, we have four children,
right.
Three boys and a girl. My youngest son has schizophrenia
mm-hmm.
and has for the last 12, 13 years.
Right.
And I know that, so by doing some studying and so on and so forth, mm-hmm. you find that the brain, you know, supposedly it's a chemical imbalance of the brain.
Right.
And, you know, part of, like, the brain is so intricate.
Mm-hmm.
And it just amazes me, you know, when you see these shows and they show the, you know, scientists doing, well, this and this and, you know, with the brain and that part of the brain. If this doesn't work, then the brain will, like you said before, the other part will kick in and do this. And
mm-hmm.
and you're just saying, wow, you know. And then there's people that actually understand all this, you know, which
yes.
is way beyond my thinking, you know.
Right.
But it's just amazing, you know, what they can come up with and what they've improved on and developed over
right.
the years, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, you stop and think 40, 50 years ago, somebody had a speech impairment or impediment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, oh, they were, you know,
mm-hmm.
so what? And I'll get out. It just
right.
don't hang around with us, you know.
Right.
And now it's like, you know, I'm not saying they can be cured,
right.
but they sure can live a better life than
yeah.
what they did 50 years ago.
Well, I think if we talk about children, we're identifying children earlier, you know, that have difficulty. And so just as with anything, early intervention with children, seeing them younger, if they're identified earlier with, you know, with the whole autism thing, if they're identified earlier, they get
yeah.
therapy
right.
earlier. Their abilities to cope and communicate and do all of that improves.
You know, it's
versus
funny.
Waiting.
Yeah, yeah, right. It's funny because my second oldest son, he didn't talk for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Because his oldest brother did everything for him.
Yeah.
You know, he'd go, you know, and the older brother go get him candy or whatever it was, you know.
Right.
So he didn't talk for a long while, you know.
Right.
And, you know, we got to thinking, well, gee, you know, is he going to be able to talk?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we sat down with the older brother and said, you know, back off a little bit and, you know,
right,
see what happens. Well, once he started backing off,
mm-hmm,
the second son started, you know, developing words to speak. You know?
Right. Oh, yeah.
Now we can't shut him up. But, you know, but
yeah, that happens quite a bit more often. Yeah, you can't shut him up anymore.
Yeah,
that type
exactly.
Of thing.
You know, but oh well.
The
but,
house is so much louder. Those type of things. Yeah, I hear that a lot from parents.
But you know.
But it's a good sound.
Yeah. You know, they're all gone now.
Right.
But you wonder though. In his case, it was his older brother that mm-hmm was doing it, loved mm-hmm him, and was doing everything for him. But there are children
mm-hmm
that's not the case with.
Right.
And it's that they can't.
Correct.
You know.
Right.
And that's what I think is, you know, when you have a young child,
mm-hmm,
what'd you say, 3 or 4?
Right.
You know, and to realize that they're having a problem and it's not family orientated, or,
right,
you know,
no,
it's, you know, because they have a problem,
right,
and how to correct it
mm-hmm
with a young child like that is, you know, I think is awesome, you
right
know, you
yeah
know, that you can do it, you
yes
know?
Yeah. And there are ways, you know, to work with the child, give them extra strategies or, you know, kind of change the environment a little bit to give them more opportunity to use their language. And there's, you know, there's precursor skills that sometimes that they need, and you have to work on something, whether it's play or interaction or engagement, those type of things, you know, to help them with their speech and language
right
and imitation. And some, like everybody has strengths and weaknesses. I always
sure
think that, you know, where some people are great in math, some people are not. Some people are really good at communicating, some people are not. So that there's always strengths and weaknesses, and it's the extremes that where you have to be where, oh no, this child is whatever age it is and they're not doing, you know,
mm-hmm,
and there's a range and there's obviously
sure
a range and there's differences between boys
sure
and girls.
Absolutely.
But the research is showing that early intervention is better, and sometimes therapy isn't as long. It's shorter because you work
right
with them earlier and it's
sure
not long. And then it doesn't impact their reading and their spelling and their writing abilities as they get older. So those type of things, you know.
Well, how do you determine, how do I explain this?
You know? What the problem is?
Yeah, yeah, well, yeah, but how do you determine that it's not their hearing,
mm-hmm,
but their inability to speak? Because if they can't hear,
mm-hmm,
they can't speak. But, you know, I would think.
Well,
you know,
in most cases, if there's any, well, the hearing, the audiologist at Huntington Medical Center, every baby is born has a hearing test, so that's a very specialized hearing test for the infant. And if there's any medical history, the state we follow up with. If there's a history of hearing loss in the family, then the child has to be tested again at so many weeks and so many months, and it goes on. So
well,
every child.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but you say hearing loss in the family. You're talking about their parents,
or
their grandparents,
yeah,
okay,
anything, yeah. So
okay
there is, you know, especially if there's, you know. It's not a, you know, an elderly
right,
hearing
right,
loss, but
right
in, you know, somebody who is hearing impaired. So we follow them up, and that is a regulation. That's a state regulation, from my understanding. So if they pass that, and the doctor is concerned, they will recommend a hearing test. They do hearing screenings and some of the
okay
pediatric checkups that I'm familiar with, but also a doctor may want to have a more in-depth hearing evaluation, which we do at the pediatricians recommend, and we do a complete evaluation, hearing test evaluation, and if they're and generally it's before the speech evaluation.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So generally that's most pediatricians, let's see their hearing, let's rule that out, even though they passed, you know, as an infant. Oh, God forbid something else is going on. They've had multiple ear infections. We want to check to make sure
sure
that they're going on, and so they'll
right
do that first, and then we'll do the speech evaluation.
Yeah, because what I understand, and I'm nowhere near close to being any kind of professional, but I understand that a hearing infection can affect, permanently affect the hearing.
Prolonged ear infections and prolonged difficulty.
Because you can get them a couple times, you know, it's like, you know, like a cold, you know, you keep coming back.
Yeah. So, yes, it can impact the child. But, you know, most children, I would say the majority of the children do have good hearing, but there are some children who don't, and that does impact their speech.
Sure. We have to take a quick break.
Okay.
You're listening to the Hunterdon Medical Center's Hour, and we'll be right back. So hang in there with us.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weikert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime, and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technology to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntonChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntonChamberRadio.com app today.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm a CPA with the accounting firm of Bedard Corky & Company, and I joined the Chamber to interact with new Chamber members and expand our mutual needs for business networking and giving back to the Hunterdon business community.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County. Welcome back to the Hunterdon Medical Center's Hour, compliments at Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. I'm the host, Larry Cartwright, and we're very privileged to have with us today Ann DeMarco, who is a speech therapist and clinical coordinator. How about that? All these titles, boy. Only kidding, Ann.
But it sounds good. That's all it does. It sounds good.
Hey, you know. But now, there are a lot of treatments you offer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Are they all interconnected, or are they like separate, or?
Well, they're dependent on the person and their need. We have, speech pathologists, so the audiologists, let me just tell you a little bit what they do in basics so people know that. And as I say, you could have a whole nother show with them. They do hearing testing. They, if somebody needs a hearing aid, they can help them with that process. As far as that is concerned, they also do what we call central auditory processing evaluations, which is a more in-depth evaluation for a child who has what we call auditory processing. That's a whole nother show itself. The speech pathologist, we work from, you know, birth to 100 or 2 to 100, I would say, in the outpatient center. And we have, as I say, we all have our – we all work with all different types of people, but everybody can have an area of expertise. For example, two of our therapists are certified in the Lee Silverman Voice Treatment Program, or the LOUD program, which works with Parkinson's patients.
Oh, okay.
So they're certified. It's a very specific program that if somebody has been diagnosed with Parkinson's, there's a very intensive month-long four-day-a-week program that they come to the speech-language pathologist, and go through this program. And it is a research-based program that is helpful in improving a person's with Parkinson's voice.
Okay.
And it gives them strength, that type of thing.
Now, if the person is immobilized,
mm-hmm.
do they make house calls?
We do not. No, we're an outpatient center. Hunterdon Medical Center has a home program, a homebound program, a home care program, that type of thing. But we see people now that we're on the first floor, and we have automatic doors at the center now. Woohoo! It's great. And we have people come in wheelchairs, because a lot of our stroke patients come in wheelchairs and that type of thing.
Right.
So, but there is a, you know, a level of qualification for some of the programs, like the LOUD program. You know, they go through an assessment to determine if they're appropriate for the program. And most people in early stages of Parkinson's, it's very helpful. You know, keeps them aware and their strength and their voice. We also have a new therapist, which is really great, who speaks Spanish fluently. So she is able to do evaluations for children, and primarily the parents who speak Spanish. So that's new. We also have a therapist who works with children. She's going on maternity leave, but she works with children who have feeding and swallowing difficulties. I also work with adults who have feeding and swallowing difficulties, and I'm certified in a particular program called Vital Stim, which is a swallowing therapy exercise program. So we do a lot of that. So
what
does swallowing have to do?
Well, you know, what kind of problems do people have for eating and swallowing?
All right, so if you've had a stroke, or if you have a neurological disease, just like it affects your, it may affect your limbs or your legs, and you have difficulty, it can, and the muscles that you use for speech, you also use for swallowing, your tongue, the muscles in your throat. So because a speech pathologist is trained in the anatomy of the head and neck, we do a lot of work with patients who have swallowing difficulties. Especially, we also, I forgot to mention, see people in the hospital. So I have a therapist every day, or two, or three, depending on the day, who treat people who've immediately come in the hospital. So part of a program, you know, if they've come in and they've had a stroke, we have to see the person. So,
okay.
And then the outpatient is kind of like the end of their rehabilitation process. So swallowing is, you can choke, you can aspirate, food can go down the wrong way if your muscles are not strong enough to direct the food or the liquid in the right way. And there are a series of exercises that you can do to strengthen that. So, and there's also types of food, like how people who have had radiation can affect their swallowing as well. And so that anywhere in any muscle that's weak in the neck area, in the throat area, or the pharynx, or the tongue, that can affect your ability to chew, swallow, initiate. So that's something that we evaluate in a couple different ways and treat them if needed too, because sometimes a person can have a speech and language problem. They can also have a swallowing problem too. So it just depends on the severity of the issue that they may have.
If they have both problems,
mm-hmm.
is it normally older people or is it kids?
I would say, well, we treat both. Some children, if they have a developmental delay and they may have difficulty with learning how to chew or learning how to advance their diet to, you know, from the baby food on up, and they have sensitivities, or a child, not all children have this, but some children with autism have difficulty with food preferences and food limitations. And so we work on a step-by-step process to get them, you know, to where they should be at their age or eating as to have just food.
Just off the top of my head, children who have Down syndrome, do they...
They can have difficulty swallowing. Yes.
Right. That's what I thought.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So, that whole global developmental thing, and you work on exercises with them and processes with them to help them as well. And that's something that we do. So every therapist, we have therapists who work with fluency or stuttering issues. We have, I work a lot with people who have voice issues, hoarseness. You know, low volume voice, that if they have something on their vocal cords like vocal nodules. So we see pretty much any type of speech and language disorder.
You know, when you said stuttering, it rang a bell. There's a country western singer who, if he's talking, will stutter.
Right.
And when he sings, you'd never know it.
Right.
And I just never could grasp that, you know.
It's a different part of the brain, yeah.
It's fact. It's rhythm, like he's, and he's well known. I mean, I can't think of his name off the top of my head right now. Yeah. But like I said, I've heard him interviewed and he'll stutter. You can understand him and everything, but it's just that he'll stutter.
Right.
And then when he'll sing.
Completely.
Quote unquote normal, you know.
Yep.
And it just amazes to me, you know, that what, I don't want to put you on a spot, but
that's okay.
What causes stuttering?
I still don't think we know yet.
Okay.
I still don't think we know it. There is a severity to an extreme that is a neurological component, but I don't think we've identified, you know, that particular thing. It does run in families. So there is possibly a genetic component to it, but believe me, the research isn't anywhere near identifying it, I think. There is a developmental aspect to it, but there's also a family history to it, but also there are severity to it that there could be neurological, but we really haven't identified the cause.
That was just off the top of my head. I was just curious.
It's a good question, but I've been in the business a really long time, and I'm pretty sure there are thoughts, and people have certain beliefs of this is the way it is or this is the way it is. Everybody has a different, you know, treatment modality or methodology and that type of thing. But I really don't think we have identified what the true cause is. As with a lot of speech and language disorders, you know, is it environmental? Is it genetic? Is it brain? Is it, you know... who knows? I mean, there's a lot of that are not identified.
And if not, if you can treat them, what difference does it make?
Exactly. Okay, this is the way it is. Yeah. And if I know as a speech pathologist, this is a program that I can help you with, you know, or I can treat a child and go through the steps. You know, there's work, there's motivation, there's family support, there's, you know, help from parents and family members. That's all important, help from the community. So it's all important. Everybody has to help with it.
Do you find that people, say younger people, children, young adults, teenagers, do you find that they're more success rate is better when they have family support or not? Or does it matter?
I would say yes, because of the practice needed.
Okay.
If you're working on a particular sound or you can't just come in a half an hour once a week to see me or one of the other therapists and expect it to get better. You have to go and We give them homework. We give them fun activities to mm-hmm. do at home and mm-hmm. try to incorporate it in the day. Even with the adults, they get a little folder and they're off. They got to go do their homework and bring it back.
Sure.
So, and the family support is really important to help encourage them, to give them reinforcement. You know, we pick words of the week or activities of the week, and the family, you know, there's always a, you know, is there a picture on the refrigerator? That's the word for the week, and you incorporate it into the daily activity. How many times can you say that word or those type of words? How many words do you have S's, you know, and that's really important because you can't just isolate it in one little session and expect it to get better. You have to have it be utilized across all situations and all environments.
Do you find that there's some who resist the help?
Children-wise?
Children, young adults.
There's always a motivator, whether that's an internal motivator. Some kids are just, hey, I want to do this and I want to get better. Some people need reinforcement. Mm-hmm. And I think whether there's resistance underlying, you know, especially some of the older children, they know it will help them. And they're, you know, they do the work that they need to do. I mean, occasionally we do run across. And sometimes you just let them go for a while and say, you know, well, let's relook at this in 6 months. If they're not, you know, motivated at that time, or there's too much going on, or there's other priorities or that type of thing. But I would say a large majority of people with support are motivated. I mean, it's really, you know, it's part of, communication is part of the human experience. You can't not do it.
Right. And you know what's sad is that youth mm-hmm. can be very nasty.
Yeah.
You know, if someone, say, is stuttering mm-hmm. or has a speech problem of some sort or other, mm-hmm. other kids can be very nasty.
Right.
Very, well, I'll stay with nasty and let it be at that. And that would, to me, I would think, would be an incentive to the person to get better, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and then, you know, that whole self-esteem, and that's, you know, as you know, that's a whole nother issue. But, you know, with the support of their family or encouraging them, if you do it this way, that, you know, that can help you and they can figure it out. It's a reinforcement for them. Sure. It's a reward for them. You know, I can do this. And, you know, it just depends on, you know. And everybody, you know, if they're good at something and maybe they're not the best communicator or speech, they can do something else. And you reinforce that so that they have something that's worthwhile for them to do. But most kids with, you know, family support, they're motivated. They're motivated and they want to get better and it's fun.
Sure.
And it's,
right.
And we make it fun for the kids that, okay, you can do this and this is fun. And it's like another school or preschool for them to come to.
Okay.
And
do you find that a large portion of the youth who have these speech mm-hmm. Problems are born with them, or they develop them as they're getting older? Or
I would say for children, it's a developmental weakness.
Okay.
And it depends on the severity. I mean, some are mild and some, the term used to say they'll grow out of them. Some, I use it in the term that some people need short-term therapy and some people need long-term therapy.
Okay.
You know, some people need therapy for a while and then you give them a break and they might need a little tune up down the road. I think that's kind of how I look at it. That, if it's, and we can assess at whatever particular age, if their difficulty is appropriate for their age or not. And there's, as I said, there's a range, okay, you know, they're doing okay. Let's reassess them in 6 months, 9 months, or a year and see where they're at. Are they continuing to develop or have they kind of plateaued and they still have the difficulty? So everyone is a little bit different. So there mm-hmm. are standards and guidelines and research-based tests and evaluations that you say, okay, this is within normal limits, this is not. Let's keep an eye on this, let's have them come back, those type of things. So there's
there's
protocols and procedures to determine that.
Now, you said you have four therapists?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Is each one specialized in a certain area, or is it just an overlap of everything?
Yeah, it's pretty much an overlap of everything. But if, you know, somebody has a fluency issue, they may go to Dawn. If they have a particular language processing, you know, it just depends. That's my job as the clinical coordinator.
direct
them to, can offer. But, you know, again, we are a very eclectic group. And speech pathologists work with, when you have to work at Hunterdon Medical Center, you have to learn to be knowledgeable or an expert in basically, you know, all realms. Yes, do you have something that you're more specific in or have more training in? But, you know, any therapist that we have is trained in working with adults and children. And that's a very difficult and challenging position for a speech pathologist because you have to go from a 2-year-old to a 70-year-old. You know, so that is
and
something.
You also have to go to a 67-year-old.
Yes, exactly. So you have to, and that's the challenge. And we have a really great staff to do that. You know, that's why they're there, because that's the job. Whereas some people just work in a rehab center, only work with adults. Some people only work with children in the schools or preschools or things like that.
Right.
So we see them all.
Now, you're under the Hunterdon Medical Center.
Correct, yes.
So I assume you take insurance?
Yes, we do.
Okay.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Medicare and Medicaid and all that jazz?
Yeah.
Okay.
Whatever they cover.
Right.
And some insurances cover
nothing. And
some covers, you know, all.
Yeah, we know.
Yeah. And we work hard. We work hard to, if it needs authorization, Patty, our secretary, she's more than our secretary. She does everything. We will identify if they need authorization. We'll send reports. We'll send requests. We'll check the insurance, work with the people the best that we can.
Now, if somebody in the last 2 minutes, mm-hmm. I just want to, if somebody feels that they have a child or a person who mm-hmm. needs help,
right.
What do they do? Call to make an appointment, or do they have to get a recommendation from a doctor? At what age does it get cut off that they don't have to get a recommendation?
Everybody has to get for insurance to cover it. You need
and
a medical.
Okay.
It's one of the. It's, you have to have a medical.
Right.
You have to go to a doctor, and the doctor has to say, "Yeah, go
the
see
GP and
the GP, the pediatrician, the neurologist,
whatever.
Yeah, and everybody knows us to refer." We get referrals from all over the place. But, yes, for insurance coverage, we need a medical.
Okay.
Okay.
Why don't you give, in the last 30 seconds, why don't you give the phone number again?
908-788-6424.
All right. And
Thank you.
Really appreciate you coming. And,
thank you.
You know, I just find it so interesting, you know.
I'm glad.
I really do. It is.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, especially for somebody like me who's, you know, has nothing, no knowledge about all this. You know,
I just find
that, you know, it's very interesting.
Good.
And I thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
And we'll be back again next week. Same time, same station. This is the Hunterdon Medical Center Hour, compliments of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. So we'll see you next week. Stay healthy, folks.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Audrey Strong.
I am in.
for the distance as long as we have a viable path to victory.
Ted Cruz saying he'll stay in the Republican presidential race.
Listen, this isn't about me. This is about our country and our future.
The Texas senator once again says no matter the outcome of the presidential primary tomorrow in Indiana, his campaign will compete through the GOP National Convention. Cruz trails frontrunner Donald Trump by 431 delegates, but says he will win a contested convention. Ahead of Indiana's primary, Cruz insists the Republican Party is uniting behind his positive conservative vision. Meanwhile, Donald Trump says he isn't sure if he'll sue after Cruz took almost all of Arizona's GOP delegates. Trump told Fox and Friends he doesn't think it will matter. He says he's close to the required 1,237 delegates and intends to win on the first ballot at the national convention. This is USA Radio News.
Have you been to conservativetribune.com? Now, this is one of the